light it up, let his love shine. Stories of grace, hope redefined. Heart to heart, let's lift our eyes. Welcome home to light it up alive. Lift our eyes. Welcome home to light it up alive. Welcome home to light it up alive.
Welcome to the episode of Light It Up Live, where we're igniting minds and we're elevating faith. I'm your host tonight, but I don't do it alone because I got my boy Josh with me.
What's happening, buddy? How you doing?
What's going on, my man? We've been off a little bit, buddy.
I've been busy a lot, buddy.
Yeah, man. We took us a weekend off, and it was well needed. We got to relax. It's funny. We both kind of messaged, tell you know what, man? I'm not really feeling Light It Up Live tonight. Yeah. I was like, me neither, buddy.
So, I was barely live, let alone.
I know, yeah. A lot of hours at the old workplace, man. Don't forget to check us out on YouTube. You go over to YouTube and in the search bar, if you put the @ symbol and Light It Up Live, all one word, and you'll find us. You'll see that logo over there right above Josh's head, and that's us, man. And like, subscribe, check us out. It's absolutely free, man. It's absolutely free to do.
100% free.
Yeah. 100%, and it will always remain the same. Also, you guys can interact with the show. You guys over on Facebook and YouTube, you can interact with the show. And just like Mr. Gavin Lewis just did, said, well, it's good, Josh. You can interact with the show, and we'll put you live on the air. And yeah. We always like to explain to people how we came up with the name Light It Up Live. Light It Up Live, our boy Impact pulled it out the Bible from Genesis 1:3-4. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. That's what we try to do here on Light It Up Live. We try to bring a little bit of light into a dark world, one episode at a time.
Absolutely. 100%, 100%. One episode.
It's a good weekend, man. It is Memorial Day weekend. We got us a 3-day weekend, although I worked half my day, but we got us a Memorial Day weekend. And
I kind of avoided it. You know, I was steering to working on Saturday, and at the last second, I kind of veered off.
Yeah. I got off, and I was going to go to my second job, but, man, I was just too wore out, so I'm going to have to do it in the morning. I was just too tired. I needed a little bit of R&R, and, you know, sometimes we just need that. Sometimes we just need to back up and listen to what our body's telling us, and I'm glad I did. You know, I got home and stayed on the couch and didn't leave it until it came time for show prep. Mrs. Mama Bacon chiming into the show.
Hi, Johnny.
Hi, Mama. I love you.
That's what's up. Glad to have you on.
We got a good show today, Josh. It's we got a special guest. She actually booked with us about a month or so ago, maybe more. And it's episode 44. Mrs. Kim Harms is going to join us, buddy. She's a cancer survivor. She is an author of 2 books that I know of. And it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be a wonderful show. She's great. We just had her in the pre-show, and I love her energy. I love her vibe. And it's going to be a great show, man. What do you got planned for this weekend, Josh?
I'm going to do some cooking out.
Ooh,
I got a gutter to blow out. I got a swing set to build. So I got some work to do, but Monday, you know. What's up, Mr. Randolph? Welcome to the show.
Charles, how we doing, brother?
Charles is in town. He's from Alabama, and he's down here for the holiday. He's like two blocks away. He needs to come and see me.
Two blocks away, and you ain't over there, Charles. You should be in the background right now, brother.
Right? He could have been lighting it up live, man. With all that hair. Anyway.
All that. So,
the man got some hair. Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be kind of a busy weekend, but not, you know, I'm going to put some steaks on the grill on Monday and remember all that served and
absolutely
we lost. Man. And yeah,
I'm gonna definitely have my flag out all weekend. I don't have much plans, man, to be honest with you. I have nothing planned, and I'm so good with that. Dude, have nothing planned.
I got a huge flag given to me by Jason, right? It's a 10 by 6, 6 by 10. Huge. Yeah, so I'm about to go buy a flagpole and just do a whole flagpole in my yard.
Awesome, bro.
It's time. It's
right
time.
Out front.
Yeah, right out front. I mean, I can't go over 25 foot without a permit. And okay. I ain't trying to get a permit. So
you're going 24 and a half?
24. No, just 20. I'm going to do it. 20 is the limit without a permit, and I'm going to bury the foot. You know what I mean? Some concrete. Yeah, so they can't even complain.
Very cool.
It's got to happen, man.
Got to happen. Yeah.
I know a flag that big will pull, so I'm hoping the pole is going to be strong enough because it'll break it.
Yeah. That's a big flag, man. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, he was like, you want it? It's like, what? Do I want it? I was like, not only do I want it, but I'll give you a ride home from work after that, you know, just to get it. No, I'm just kidding.
We got Michigan checking in. That's my cousin from Michigan.
Oh, Rhonda, yeah. How you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hi, my cousin Jay on their together account. But yeah, man, I'm ready. I'm ready to relax this weekend. And tomorrow morning, I am gonna go work, though. It's only gonna be for a couple hours, but. I'm going to work for a couple hours, but then after that, I believe I'm going to go see my oldest son, and because they're going to celebrate his graduation. He went to welding school. My oldest son, Devin, my 31-year-old, he went to welding school.
That's what's up. That's good money.
And they're going to celebrate that, man. So I think it's fantastic. And so we're going to go there. I'm going to get to see my grandson. My youngest son's going to get to run around with him and have us a good time.
What's up?
Do you have us?
No, wait, spotlight? You said you got to work a little bit?
Yeah, I got to work in the morning. It's just going to be a couple hours.
Are you doing that work on that Maserati?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not going to be long. Good. It's just going to be a couple. He already painted it, so I got to put it back together. So it's it's going to be super easy.
Yeah, a little snip snip here. Yes, I do have a spotlight. It's really short because of our special guest. And because I would like to give her more of the show than anything else because we know what Memorial Day is about. We know why we celebrate. And,
well, you know what we gotta do first.
Oh,
it's time for Josh.
You know what time it is. Yeah. I ain't heard this song in forever. You know?
We both hit it up on that.
Yeah, you know, I had to twist the song a little bit.
Yeah, I know.
I know you made the song, I had to twist a little bit.
Yeah, that's okay. I dig it.
That AI music is actually pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, right? What you can do.
Yeah.
All right, my brother, what you got for Josh's spotlight today, man?
So my spotlight for Memorial Day is just that. You know, today I want to remember, we want to remember the ones who sacrificed, you know, the ones who gave all so that we'd be free. The strong men that made easy times and the easy times that make weak men and the weak men that make hard times. They didn't do it for nothing. You know, we see the sacrifice. We know what came with that. We know the families that was devastated here in the States when a lot of them boys didn't come home. We feel you. We were your neighbors. You know, I got family that's, you know, in the service. God bless it. They came home. You know, thank you, Jesus, for that. But they were ready. They were ready not to. They were ready to sacrifice everything and make sure this country stays free. Because that's exactly what this is. It's a free place.
Amen.
Everybody that can, you know, condemns it, doesn't like it, that's your right to do too, you know?
Yep.
And I don't see nothing wrong with it. I might not agree with it, but I don't like lima beans neither. Won't see them on my plate. So, you know, but I did a little video that I'd like to do. It's old 98-year-old war veteran, man. I was watching this video and it really got me. And,
yeah, let's check it out.
You know what I'm saying? I just wanted to share it. So.
Tell your friends about the fact that you stood in the rain to hear us today. Tell the friends about your dedication, and then tell them about us. Tell them about veterans and say to them, we gave up our yesterdays for your tomorrows. And if they say to you then, who did you hear speak these words? Tell them, it was a 16-year-old boy.
Wow.
In the heart and mind and body of a 98-year-old veteran of World War II.
Words are even more feeble on this Memorial Day, for the sight before us is that of a strong and good nation that stands in silence and remembers those who were loved and who, in return, loved their countrymen enough to die for them. Yet we must try to honor them, not for their sakes alone, but for our own. And if words cannot repay the debt we owe these men, surely with our actions, we must strive to keep faith with them and with a vision that led them to battle and a final sacrifice.
Absolutely amazing, bud. So good. So good. I cut out the end a little too soon, but so good.
That's all right. That's the same end that we always use, the little rollout, the digital rollout.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know how else to share his little video. I didn't want to share the whole news clip from it, but his little speech was
fantastic, man. I love that, man. Tell him it was a 16-year-old little boy. Wow.
Yes. I mean, and a lot of them got, during World War II, a lot of them was recruited that young, man, because they wanted to. They weren't drafted at 16. They wanted to.
Yeah.
Like, that was an American spirit that we don't have a lot of today.
Absolutely.
You know? Braver than us, bro. Braver than me.
Braver than me.
Like, hey, you want to go get shot at? Yeah, sign me up. You know? What? But, amazing. That's my spotlight, man. You know what I'm saying? This little quick Memorial Day. You know, I hope everybody out there has a good weekend and, you know, eat some good food, have some family over. Hug each other.
Remember why we're able to do this.
And if you have military, ex-military in your family, you know what I'm saying, that's gone, talk about them. Say their names out loud. They're listening.
That's right.
They're listening.
Remember why we're able to barbecue. Remember why we're able to have days off and work like we do. And remember the people that sacrificed everything so that we can have so much.
Yes. Because when you forget, it's when their sacrifice was for nothing.
Amen, bud. So, man, we got a special guest, buddy.
That's what's happening.
Let's talk, man. Tonight's guest is a 2-time cancer survivor.
Amen.
God bless it. And who turned her pain into purpose. After spending 10 years in what she calls the cancer world, she wrote the powerful devotional Carried Through Cancer, shared stories of hope, faith, survival, and the ways Jesus meets us in our hardest moments. Tonight's conversation is about perseverance, hope, and trusting God, even in the middle of the storm. So you guys help me give a warm welcome to Mrs. Kim Arms.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks so much for letting me chat with you tonight. I'm good.
Absolutely. Welcome to the show. We're excited to have you on.
I like having authors on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it's one thing to read a book, but to write a book, I mean, you know, that's a lot.
It's a little different.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep. So I'm glad you're on with us. My father, he's in heaven now, but he beat cancer in his 70s. So this actually touches my heart as well. And then we all have family or friends that this has affected, you know what I mean? And I'm still kind of one of those people, like, how have we not figured nothing out about this yet? And I'm still like one of those. I'm still floored, you know, with all of our technology, you know, how have we not? And it's just a terrible thing. I hate to even say the word, you know, most of the time I call it the C word, you know, I hate it so much.
Yeah, it is all over, and there's all kinds of different types of cancer. Yeah. I will say that I know in the last probably 20 to 40 years, breast cancer research has, that's been tons of it. So there's so many good treatments for breast cancer, right, which I had. There are other cancers that are tougher. I mean, they're all hard, but I'm very thankful for all the treatment options that I've had, because I've been through a bunch of them. So,
right, Kim. So for people hearing your story for the very first time, take us back. Take us back to the moment you first heard the words, you have cancer. What went through your mind?
Sure. I about collapsed. I remember the day husband and I were expecting to get the news a day later than we did. And so we had told all of our friends and family that we were going to find out like on a Thursday, whether I had cancer or not. And we got the call on Wednesday instead, which ended up being so good, because we had like 24 hours to process it before people were expecting to know. But we got a phone call from my doctor at like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. She said she was about to leave the office and it came across her desk. And I'm from a small town, Iowa, and I know her quite well. And she's like, if you didn't answer your phone, Kim, I was going to come over to your house and talk to you. But we got off the phone and I remember I just kind of fell into Corey's chest and I'm like, I don't want to have cancer. I don't want to have cancer. I don't want to have cancer. It's a scary word. And when you're first diagnosed, I didn't know if it was my stage one, am I stage four? Am I going to have to go through chemo, surgeries? Am I going to make it? All of those things start going through your head. And then it was like, how am I going to tell my children, who were pretty young at the time that I was first diagnosed? And it's just very overwhelming and scary when you hear those words, for sure.
Yeah, I bet. Now you survived cancer twice, Kim.
Wow.
Yeah. How did the second battle affect you differently from the first?
The second one, oddly, I was less fearful, just because I'd been through it once before, which may seem strange, but I'd learned so much in the years that in between the diagnosis, and I'd really stayed in the cancer world, and I'd made so many friends, and my first book came out before my second diagnosis. And I'd spoken with a lot of women, helped them walk through some of those surgeries that I had gone through. So I feel like I never really left the cancer world, though I didn't have cancer for those few years in between. But so I was still scared, but it was different. I was fearful again. Am I going to make it this time? Because it was a little bit later stage. I had to go through chemo and radiation and surgeries. And so it was scary, but it was a different kind of scary. I was like, okay, we're going to do this again. God got us through it the first time, and come I'm on. Just going to have to trust him that he's going to be with me this second time too. And he was. I don't want to do it again, but it was,
sounds like you knew the possibility was there this time.
Yes.
Versus the uncertainty.
Yes.
You know, I could see where that would build a lot of courage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. And as a mom, I bet you that's like probably the 99% thing you think about, right? You know what I mean? When it's that C word coming into play, it's your kids. Seems like that would be like the biggest thing. Like, oh, my kids.
Yes. Yeah, you definitely. I mean, that was one of the first things I thought of. And I was just very concerned for them. And I wanted people to be taking care of them and meeting their needs. The night that Corey and I told, we have three boys, and they were in eighth grade, seventh grade, and second grade. I think Lewis was eight, our youngest, when I was diagnosed the first time. And I just remember that night, I didn't even have words. I couldn't speak. So Corey told them, and, you know, I feel like we had lived in a pretty protected bubble. We'd never had anything really, really too terrible happen to our family. We just kind of were cruising through life. And so that night we kind of burst their bubble. You know, we were like, this is the world, and it's broken, and this is a hard thing that we're going to do. And that was awful, but it was also, you know, going through that, we got closer as a family, and you worry about some things in your life less, because it's like, oh, what, that doesn't matter. That didn't go right. Who cares? You know, it's not cancer. Right. So it just changes your perspective on life. And I think it gave my kids a compassion and understanding that they probably wouldn't otherwise have. So it was horrible. But there are some good things that came out of it.
So. Now, was during that journey, was there a moment where you were angry at God and you were questioning him?
Honestly, no. I've had a lot of people ask me that. I was very sad. I was very sad and disappointed, maybe, but I was never, I was never angry. I didn't think I could do it. You know, I really struggled that way, but I also know that, I'm not promised an easy life. And I was like 40 years old and had never really had anything major bad happen to me. I thought, you know, this is life. This is my hard thing that God has placed this in my life. I wasn't mad. I was heartbroken. But I,
and there's a difference.
Get angry. Yep.
Yep. Now,
challenge. It was definitely a test of faith.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And I
yeah.
don't, I think yeah. it would have been okay if I did get angry. I know a lot of
Absolutely.
People who I know who have had cancer. Yep. It's okay. I mean, God gave us those emotions. 100%. It's okay. But I didn't ever really get angry, I guess.
Now, was there like a specific moment where you truly felt Jesus carrying you through the darkness? There had to be, right? I mean, there had to be like a moment where you're like, wow, you know what I mean? Yeah.
There were several that I can think of. One of the first ones I can think of is it was pre-op the first time I had cancer, have major surgery, and I don't like needles. I don't like that kind of thing. And I remember I was sitting in the pre-op room with my husband, and I was like, you know what? It feels like I'm waiting to get my hair cut. Like I was overwhelmed. I was just, it was so much peace in that room that I would have never imagined that's the way I would have felt at that point. And that was totally God that did
Absolutely.
That. And then I'll tell you the second time I was diagnosed, in between my diagnosis, I met Dr. Beck is her name, Susan. She's a friend of mine now. But when I was writing my first book, I cold called her office. She's a breast surgeon. She's well known in Iowa where I am. And I asked if she could go through my manuscript with me because there's a lot of medical terminology in there and I want to make sure it was right. Well, at that time she said, you know what, I'm going to read through each chapter with you and we're going to make sure we've got this all accurate, which was amazing. But then we became friends. And then I found a lump in my armpit and she was one of the first people I called and she got me right in. And then she happened when I was going in for my surgery with my second diagnosis, she was my surgeon. And so I was wheeled back to the operating room by my friend Susan. And like the last face I saw as I'm drifting off before surgery is my friend Susan. And that's just a testimony of God, like through the whole thing. Like, Amen. I'm going to introduce you to this woman. And then like 6 years later, you're going to really need her.
Absolutely.
And we're still friends. Great. So yeah. So God is just, he's really good, even in those hard things.
Now, which books, you're a two-time author. Which book did you write first?
The first one was Life Reconstructed. And they're two very different books. The first one is really kind of a guidebook for women going through mastectomies and breast reconstruction, which are very common surgeries in breast cancer. And it takes you through medical things, but also physical healing, emotional healing, relational things, how to talk to your kids. It's very kind of a how-to guidebook. Whereas my next one is a devotional with a lot of different women's
right. And the next one is Carried Through Cancer. Mm-hmm. That's your next one. Carried Through Cancer, 70 Days of Spiritual Strength from Cancer Fighter Survivors and Caregivers. Now, why was that title so personal to you? I can tell that title is really personal to you.
Yes, I was definitely carried through cancer. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how it would be really hard to go through something like that without Jesus. And, you know, not that he made it easy, but he was always there. So definitely carried me through that. And I, the very first story in the book, is based on an interview I did with a survivor who, she actually mentioned that too, the carried through cancer. And I don't know if you guys know that. It's a poem from a long time ago. It was called Footprints, and the person is walking on the beach, and then during the hard times of their life, they see that there's only one set of footprints, and God had been walking by them, and he says, well, that's when I carried you. And that's really where that came from, that carried through cancer.
Yeah, so, I remember that. Yep. That was good.
Yeah, yeah. Now, out of all the survivor stories and the 10 caregiver stories in the book, was there one testimony that absolutely broke you emotionally? Was there one that stands out?
You know, this being Memorial Day, the one that I'm thinking of, I actually was thinking of this as you guys were talking through about Memorial Day things, but one of the women that I interviewed, her name is Alex, and she spent years in the military, and she was stationed overseas multiple times. And then when she came back home, she was diagnosed with cancer. Her kids were pretty young. And she talked about how scary the cancer was and how hard it was. And I remember her saying, you know, I signed up for the military and I knew what I was in for. I knew. Ooh. And she talked about how she was running from somewhere to shelter when there were mortar shells like flying over her head. And then she said, and then when I was diagnosed with cancer, I thought, you know, this might be harder. I knew what I was signing up for when I signed up for the military. I don't know what to do with this. And wow, what an interesting comparison, man. I would not want to be in the military, and I would not want to have any mortar shells flying over me.
No,
but,
no.
It was just a really, a picture of just how scary it is. But then again, she just talked about how God, took her through that too. And really
you can completely understand what she was saying. You can completely understand what she was saying. As soon as she started talking about it, I was like, whoa, I know exactly where you're going with that. Yeah, exactly. At least she knew what she was signing up for. Yeah, that's
crazy. The uncertainty medically is that's one reason a lot of people don't go to the hospital.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
For a man, usually something's got to fall off. A leg's got to fall off before we go to the hospital, you know? Yeah. Right. It's like, no, I'm good. I just need some NyQuil and a couple of days off, you know? But in the military, they're shooting at me. I got it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, caregivers suffer too, you know what I mean? But I think a lot of times they're overlooked.
Yes.
What did you learn through that book? What did you learn about the pain caregivers, Gary?
Well, I learned just that caregivers, it is very hard for them as well, but they often are overlooked. They they're taking care of someone with cancer. People are coming up to them and saying, how's your daughter doing? Or how's your husband doing? And not asking how they're doing when they have a really hard job too. In fact, I think sometimes almost harder, depending on the circumstances sometimes than the person with cancer, because they want so bad to take it from you. You know, my husband would have wanted, he could have taken it from me and done that for me. He would have, but to be in a caregiver position where you're kind of helpless, in a lot of ways, I think is just so hard, and people don't realize it. So those caregivers do get, overlooked sometimes. And that's why I wanted to interview caregivers for this book as well. So, it was pretty neat talking to them and just seeing their perspectives and just where God, you know, met them in their caregiving too. I think of one where Connie is her name. Her mother had a type of cancer where she would have tumors that would grow in her chest, and they would have to be surgically removed. There was nothing else you could do. So they'd get rid of them and then they'd be gone for a while and they'd come back, and she would had to have multiple surgeries at Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. And they drove there, and it was hours long drive each time they had to go, and she had to go up there for appointments in between. And she told me that, you know, that was hard to do, but she got all of this time in the car with her mom and her dad. And she's like, they told me stories that I wouldn't have ever even heard if we didn't have that time together. We had that time, we had to be together, and we were just able to talk. And she learned a lot about her parents that she might not have heard otherwise. And, you know, eventually her mom did pass away, but she got a lot of years of good life, you know, in between her surgeries. So,
yeah.
No, yeah, never. I'm sure that was that was probably hard for your husband too, because I know if my lady is sick and I can't help, that makes me feel so bad. Like there's nothing I can do to fix this.
Just being sick,
Sick. I can get her some chicken noodle soup or something, but something like cancer is takes to take a toll on someone that you love. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So try to be the hero.
Nothing
you
can touch. Yeah. There's nothing you can do to it. Yeah. You can't make it leave her alone.
Yeah. You can't give advice. You can't make comparisons because you're look, I haven't went through this.
Yep, absolutely. And now I know cancer, it just don't attack the body. It attacks the mind too.
Yes.
How did you fight the fear mentally and spiritually? That something like that has to be difficult.
It is. The first time around, when I was very fearful, the nighttime was always the worst. In the day, you know, I could occupy my mind and do other things. But night was really hard. And I had memorized Isaiah 41:10 years ago, and I would just repeat that over and over in my head at night and trying to get myself to be able to go to sleep. And that is what would calm me down and get me to sleep. So I'd wake up in the middle of the night and I would just be, fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed. I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And I will uphold you with my right hand of righteousness. And I would just repeat it over and over and over. And that is what would get me through a lot of those hard nights. And the fear, when you fight it with scripture, not that you can just totally make it go away, but it really does help. So,
yeah, it gives you a chance to breathe. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's gonna knock you down before it builds you back up too. So,
right.
I don't know. I've lost quite a few loved ones to cancer. My stepmother, who was diagnosed, and she died on her 50th birthday of breast cancer. She passed away, and I mean, she was real humble about it. You know what I mean? She knew it was bad. She didn't believe in modern medicine. She was a Native American woman, and she just did her best, and lost my uncle and a couple others. So yeah, cancer is terrible. It's really a mental challenge. And when you're mentally challenged like that, your body don't heal either. So.
Yep. But it's tough. It hits you physically, mentally, you know, psychologically. You're just, it's a lot. It's a lot. A lot of different aspects in your life. It affects relationships too. It's just, you know, some people, the word cancer is really scary, so they just kind of back away, you know. But then other people come out of the woodwork and are just so helpful and kind. You know, some people I didn't even expect to be. So, but it affects so many different aspects of life for sure.
But it's afterwards, you know, when you're a soldier like yourself and you beat it, it's got to give you some, mentally, it's got to make you a little tougher, right? You know what I mean? you beat something like that, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's got to let other easy stuff roll off your back now, you know what I mean? Like, I'm a cancer survivor. You know?
Yeah.
Definitely don't sweat the small things, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, don't sweat the small things, right.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't worry about some of the things I used to worry about. I will tell you that something that I probably struggle with, though, is a lot of people who haven't been through cancer they'll have hard things happen in their lives. And I will, you know, I'll think if that happened to me, it wouldn't bother me so much, but it's because I've gone through something super hard. So I need to not be judgmental of other people who are going through hard things that, you know, you might want to rank them like, oh, that's not as bad as cancer. Well, that person's never had cancer. So this was really hard for them. So just being having grace toward
You're so soft. I beat cancer. Yeah. Tough enough.
Right. Like I'm the WWF champion over here. What are you doing?
So Starbucks was closed. I beat cancer.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It definitely changes
That's
your perspective.
Funny. Yeah.
Now, before we get to my final thoughts, what would you say to someone who just got diagnosed, Kim, and feels completely hopeless tonight? What would you say to them right now if they're listening?
Well, I know that I could not have gotten through this how I did without Jesus. So I would say lean on him. And if you haven't prayed before, pray. Like just do. I know not everybody, I mean, some people think I'm crazy, but I think that's the most important thing. I would say lean into the people who love you. Accept help from people. We tend to be so independent, and think, I don't want this help. Like, someone might offer you a meal and you feel like, oh, I don't know if I should take that. Well, take it. I tell you, take all the help that anyone offers, because, one, you really do need it. You can use it. And two, when people are able to help you in some way, it is a blessing to them. And if you don't allow them to, you're kind of stealing that blessing. So I tell people to think of it that way. Like, it's, you are, they're helping you, but you are also giving them a gift by letting them help, because so many people want to help and they don't know what they can do. So if they offer to bring you a gift card somewhere or a meal or whatever, just take that help. Because, and think about if you were in their place, you would want to help them as well. So those are some words of advice. It is scary. I'd say allow your emotions to play out. Be scared, be angry, be feel all the things you need to feel, and talk to someone about it. See a counselor if you need to. It's really hard, but you can get through it. You can do it. I mean, you can do it. And there are a lot of really smart people in the medical world that they spend their days treating people who have cancer. So there now, is.
Where can they where can they find your books, Kim? Where can people, if they want to find either of your books, before we do my final thoughts, where can they find that? Like Carried Through Cancer, where can they find it?
Yeah, they are both available on Amazon, which is probably the easiest place, but or anywhere you buy books online. If you look them up, okay. There's a variety of places you can buy them. They're in some Barnes & Noble stores. So if you were to go into a brick and mortar store and buy it in a real store. Also, I have a website. It's kimharms.com. You can connect with me there. I'm on Instagram as Kim Harms Author and Facebook as Kim Harms Author. And you can get information on them there too.
Wonderful. So kimharms.com. We'll have Josh put that down in the chat, so when people come back to this later, they can see that.
All right.
I got it down there. Yeah. I was thinking about it. When you said somebody else has a pain and you can't sympathize with them because of what you've been through, I'm sure your husband's like, oh, I stubbed my toe. And you're like, yeah you'll get over it. Bro. You're going to make it. You know, I can imagine. You know, I bet when he hurts himself, he's like, you're all right? Like, yeah, I'm fine, man. There ain't nothing wrong over here. Perfectly okay. That'd be great.
Honey, my throat hurts. I had cancer. Get over it.
Right? Throw a pack of Halls at poor him. Guy. Like, I'm going out.
That's amazing.
Well, it was great having you on the show. You know what I mean? I'm so happy that you were strong and you made it. You know what I mean? And to write good books for other people that I'm sure have doubts. You know, I couldn't imagine having cancer. I've thought about it a few times. Yeah, it'd be kind of devastating to get news like that for me. And the first thing you'd focus on is your family and your kids. And so
congrats, well, thanks so much for having me. This is, I always get nervous when things are live, but this was very good, easy, comfortable. So thank you.
It's just a couple people hanging out. Now it's that time in the show where I have my final thoughts, and I do it each show at the end. And this here, Kim, this is my final thoughts. Tonight reminded us of something powerful. Pain does not mean God has abandoned you. Sometimes we think faith means we'll never suffer. But the truth is, some of the strongest faith is born in hospital rooms and sleepless nights and moments where all you can do is cry out to God and whisper, please don't let go of me. Kim's story tonight wasn't just about cancer. It was about endurance. It was about hope. It was about discovering that even in the darkest valleys of life, Jesus still walks beside us. And maybe that's who this message is really for tonight. The person who's exhausted. The person waiting on test results. The caregiver holding everything together while secretly falling apart inside. The person smiling in public but crying when nobody's looking. The person wondering why God feels silent. Hear me clearly tonight. Silence does not mean absence. Sometimes God does his deepest work in the dark places. And maybe you don't understand the pain right now. Maybe you don't understand the struggle. Maybe you don't understand why life had to hit this hard. But your story is not over. There is still a purpose in you. There is still breath in your lungs. There is still a God who sees every tear you cry. The enemy wants suffering to make you lose faith. But sometimes suffering is the very thing that reveals how God truly is. And if you're hanging by a thread tonight, hold on. Because the same God that carried Kim, the same God that walked with her through fear, uncertainty, and pain is the same God walking with you right now. You may feel broken, but broken people are still worthy of love, still worthy of grace, still worthy of miracles. Don't give up, not tonight, because even in the middle of the storm, God is still carrying you. Those are my final thoughts.
Well, amen on those. Yeah.
It was wonderful having you on. Miss Kim, you. It was an absolute blessing. Light It Up Live will always be here for you if you write a new book, and we're going to be waiting for that. If you write a new book, we'll be here for you. You can announce it right here on Light It Up Live. Our doors will always be open for you. You guys, again, if you want to check out Kim's book, any of her website, you can go over to www.kimharms.com. And you can check her out there. You can also go to Amazon. You can check her books out, Carried Through Cancer and Life Reconstructed. They're both on Amazon. That's where I pulled these pictures from. It was very easy. As a matter of fact, I didn't even put in the titles. I just put her name in and poop.
Yeah, that's all I did. Just put her name in.
And they pulled really fast.
She's got a writer's bio on there. I followed that. That was, Amazon was great for it. Absolutely. Or her website. I'm sure it gets, you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Little more traffic on your website's better. So KimHarms.com.
Absolutely. KimHarms.com. KimHarms.com. Yeah. So Miss Harms, Kim, thank you so much for joining us. It was an absolute blessing to have you come on, and thank God that God healed you, and please keep doing what you're doing. Please keep spreading your story, and please keep writing these books and keep doing shows like this, because there are people out there, and I guarantee you there's going to be a woman that heard this tonight that's struggling, that's scared, and she's going to hear your story, and it's going to give her some hope. So God bless you for what you do, okay?
No, thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, God bless you, Kim. We will see you again, okay?
All right. Sounds great. Thank you.
Thank you, man. Bye-bye. Thank you.
What a powerful story, Mr. Carpenter.
That's a good guess, man. Good guess.
Yeah, man.
I couldn't imagine being diagnosed with something like that. My anxiety would be outrageous.
You know what would be worse? Like you were talking about, what would be worse for me is to have my wife diagnosed with it. I could handle me getting diagnosed with it better than I could my wife being diagnosed with it.
Yes and no, because look, if I got diagnosed with it, I know she'd be worried about me.
Right. Yeah.
And her worry would bother me too.
Yep. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like I don't 100%. Want you to be all sad and look at me. She's gonna look 100%. At you like, you know.
I know.
I don't know if that would make me get better or not. I know. I think it'd make it worse. So the whole situation's bad, but God's got us, bro.
Amen. You know? Amen. What a powerful story. Well, you guys, that's it. That's it for us tonight. Don't forget to join us next time, Saturday night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, right here, also on YouTube, Rumble, Twitch, all over the place. We rebroadcast on iHeartRadio. We're all over the place. You guys, don't forget to go to YouTube and like, subscribe. And please do me a favor and remember that your rope's longer than you think. God's rope that has no end. And hold on tight.
Amen. We carry hope, peace, sparkle.
alive.